Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, do you, in nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Tune in early Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Keeping It Brief, and then join us later on that evening as we dig into the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft, the Song Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday, split with Gray Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds, bringing you bad company, and exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Take a walk on the wild side Tuesdays. Join Jeremy as he brings you the headliners ball on Thursdays. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Aphasia and Babbler on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. And every other Sunday, join Robert M. as he brings you the solace of shadows. Check out the contest at Prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean.
Hello, Rex, and how are you tonight?
All righty.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Sounds so wonderful. Yeah. So your contest was pretty cool, I thought. You know, it was a good idea, a good attempt. Sorry, I said it.
A little different, out of the norm for us, but it didn't turn out too bad.
Absolutely. But it didn't set anybody a flying, that's for sure. But that's all right. I think a tip of the hat doesn't hurt, you know, once in a while. You know, like I said, when I talked to you about it, it was just that he was it when I was a kid. And I do say a kid, when I was like probably, oh my gosh, preteen, young teen. That's all you heard was his name. But that's what, you know, it followed the center of what my mother listened to. And back then they had all the talk shows. And all the talk shows would have these people on that were singing these songs. So I always remember those things. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, you know, maybe somebody else could relate to it. Maybe. Just maybe. So, yeah, that might be a little fun. I'm surprised we didn't have more of a turnout, though. I guess I'm just the old fart in the crowd. I don't know. Anyway, so I think about it.
Could be. A lot of people didn't know that he was, God, he was into just about everything.
Yep.
TV,
yep.
Movies, composing, yep. Not to mention all the different people he worked with over the years. God.
Yeah, he was really something. There was a lot of names associated with him as I was growing up. I mean, you didn't just hear his name, Burt Bacharach, and hear him on the radio. That wasn't how it worked. You know, there was, you know, a bunch of artists that were affiliated with him, you know, the Tom Jones, the Dionne Warwicks, the Carol Sager, I think her name was.
Yep.
And there's just so many of them. Like, it's crazy how many. And you would see those people, and then all of a sudden, somehow the conversation would bounce back to Burt Bacharach because he was the one writing all this stuff. And, yeah, he may not be, you know, the Led Zeppelin in the crowd, but he did put out a lot of work. So I say, hey, you know, he was wonderful in his day the way that happened. So, yeah, but it looks like he got some good poetry from it. Yeah, that's awesome. So what are you going to tell us about Burt Bacharach? Because I know you have fished up something to tell us all about him.
Well, he's a composer, songwriter, record producer, and pianist. He was born in 1928 in Kansas City, Missouri, and grew up in Forest Hills in New York. And we did somebody else from that Forest Hills, not too like the Ramones. So,
wow.
Company coming out that way. He's written hundreds of pop songs, many with his favorite lyricist, Hal David, over the years. He's over 1,000 artists have recorded Burt's songs from 61 to 72. Most of Burt's and Hal's hits were written specifically for Dionne Warwick. Early associations, he was 57 to 63. Saw the pair working with Marty Robbins, Perry Como, Daniels, Jerry Butler, broke hits for Gene Pitney, Celia Black, Dusty Prince, Springfield, Tom Jones, B.J. Thomas. He's had 72 on the top 100, 72 songs on the top 100, and 50 in the U.S., and 52 on the top U.K. Charts over his tenure.
Wow.
He said,
a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm not the top. Those were top 40 hits, 72 U.S., yeah. 52 British. He's got 6 Grammys, 3 Academy Awards, and 1 Emmy. Burt and Hal listed in Rolling Stone as the number 32 of the top 100 songwriters of all time. He was into jazz as a teenager, even though he was getting his piano background in old school. He didn't care for that, but it did him good because it served him well over the years having that that background. But he took to jazz. So as a teenager, he used to he'd get a fake ID and he'd sneak into the clubs on 52nd Street to get into the sounds of Count Basie and Dizzy Gillespie. He met Vic Damone while serving in the army in Germany, and that was, well, 50-51, somewhere around there, and spent 3 years with him as a pianist and conductor. And he also worked with Polly Bergen, the Ames Brothers, Steve Lawrence, Paula Stewart. He became part-time music director for Marlene Dietrich's nightclub shows in New York. And he produced the sound you get on his records is all him. He produces, he arranges, he actually produces his album. He's produced most of his albums over all these years. And he's done quite well with it. He
all
had,
right.
Let's see. I think Arthur was one of the songs he got a Academy Award for. And Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head was his first, I think, Academy Award nomination and victory. So
I remember them murdering that song on the radio. Time you blinked your eyes, it was back on. Wow. I was like, wow. And it wasn't a bad song, but it was just like, you talk about having it drilled into you.
Yep.
And all you do is keep hearing it again. And then the radio would stop and you'd still be hearing it and be like, oh my God. Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. But he did have a lot of good hits.
He toured with Marlene Dietrich on and off for from the late 50s into the early 60s. Him and Hal sat down and ironed out an arrangement as them being a musical duo going forward. Let's see what else we got here. He's recorded Marty Robbins's. Let me see, what was it? There was something early on that would really hit something up. They wrote two songs together. It was 1957. One of them was for Marty Robbins, which was a number one hit, and there was another tune I can't remember at the moment. Damn, I wrote it down somewhere. Bloody hell. yep, too much stuff.
That is a lot. I mean, it's just there's so much going on. The Story of My Life.
Oh,
is that the one?
Yes. Story of My Life, Marty Robbins, and there was another one. But that opening song we had on, I didn't know that was part of Bert's repertoire for Man to Man going back some years as well. Because we just did the double end of Springsteen's song Blinded by the Light, his version with Manfred's version, which was definitely a better version. But I didn't know going back in time that he'd also worked with Bert, so that was a different twist I wasn't quite expecting.
Wow. A lot of stuff, man. There's so much he was around for so long, there's an accumulation of accomplishments, you know? And it's so hard to remember everything because it's all there. Sorry?
That other 57 song was Magic Moments for Perry Como, which went to number four.
Oh. You know, I did see Perry Como's name on something earlier, and I went, Perry Como, really? I have no idea. Like, that's one of the – well, it's one of the ones I did not put together with him. Some of them were very familiar. Other ones I didn't know. But, yeah, it's pretty pretty amazing.
Man. Yeah, before he and Hal kind of hit it solid between themselves, he also wrote with Bob Hilliard. And he wrote songs, Please Stay for the Drifters, Power of Strength, it's Gene McDaniels, Any Day Now for Chuck Jackson, and Mexican Divorce for the Drifters. So, and he also wrote, Three Wheels on My Wagon for Dick Van Dyke.
Figure, man, go figure. He was everywhere. He just really was. He was everywhere. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The underlying influence for a lot of people going over the years from the 50s, right through the 90s. I think it was 98, he and Elvis Costello got together and did an album. And then they joined up again in 2018. So he also wrote, he composed and arranged the soundtrack for the 1967 film Casino Royale, the only one that wasn't a Brock Lee movie. But was a funny and great movie to begin with.
I recognize the name. I don't remember.
Let me see. That would be with David Niven. as James Bond. It was a really funny movie. They did a remake with what's his name a couple of years back, but wasn't really the spoof that David Niven had, and that was really good, funny as hell.
Right.
And The Look of Love, which was on the soundtrack, Dusty Springfield's, and an instrumental for Herb Albert, the Tijuana Brass. So he's played a
lot of names.
Jazz has been
a lot of names.
He plays a wicked piano as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I remember that. I remember him being on the Merv Griffin show. Don't laugh.
I didn't know about the Tom Jones angle, but every time that came on television, he was on television, we'd be forced to watch it because Mom loved Tom Jones.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. My mother liked Tom Jones too. She wasn't wild about it, but she liked it. She'd give you that side eye like, he was on, like, whatever. Interesting. Interesting how things change through the years. Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff. So listen, Rex, I think it's just going to be you and me tonight. I think it's going to be a quiet... Oh, wait, we have another caller. Hold on. You steal my heart. I was just getting ready to say we were going to be by ourselves. Let me see who this is. Hello, area code 239. Who's calling, please?
Hi, my name is Bill Schiller.
Bill! Welcome to the party.
I'm so glad you all are talking about Burt Bacharach.
That's us.
Quite a character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm of that generation that remembers when Dionne Warwick was at the height of her celebrity.
Yep.
And what was a love story where he did Disguise in Love.
Yeah. I remember.
You're talking Gene's language now.
That's amazing.
Well, and then Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and I always remember the bicycle scene where they're rolling around to Raindrops on My Head. This is all very nostalgic for me. And when he died a couple of weeks ago, I thought there's another whole generation of kids who will never know who this man is, this genius.
Yep. There's a lot of people we're losing like that, Bill, in all different genres. It's like, wow, really? But this one, I kind of thought maybe this would hit home with a lot of people, but, I guess, I said I was an old fart, but I won't insult you like that. It's just crazy, because it was so familiar. It's hard to believe that we didn't have a whole lot of rights in my head. But we have a lot of kids on the site. I'm like the grandmother trying to say this.
I think it may be would it be more of a Gen X or baby boomer thing? It might be more baby boomer.
Well, I figure that was probably about 12 or 13. And when I remember hearing this man's name, and that's just a guesstimate. I don't really know how old I am. And all these other names, And I heard him for so long. You figure, I'm not 12 and 13 anymore. And the next generation, that would probably be about the last one to have heard of them, So, maybe I am just an odd man over there. I don't know.
Yeah, we're becoming dinosaurs. That's all it is to it. The dinosaurs.
You speak for yourself, Paul Schiller. You speak for yourself.
I know, the truth is hard to handle.
Oh my God. You and me, we're going to fight later.
Oh.
Watching the Paul on a dinosaur. Oh, my God. Max, you taking notes here?
Well, maybe you're more of a friendly dinosaur like Dino, not Godzilla or a friend in Jurassic Park. There are friendly dinosaurs that are even kind of useful. I think I'm just going to dig myself deeper than when I go here.
Look. It's okay. I'll associate myself with the Barney, the dinosaur. I'll put myself in that category. He was friendly and the kids loved him. Well, until other
Huff
people told me they were.
Do you remember Huff and Puff?
Yes, I do. H.R. Huff and Puff. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I remember. See that? Yep.
That was,
remember the Land of the Lost?
And Witchy Poo. The Mad,
yeah.
Witchy Poo and the lid, Charles Nelson Reilly is the hat guy. Oh, my God.
Look, man. This is
we're going way back
now. You're making me date myself, though. Knock it off. I don't mean date.
I'm
going to go out.
Wizard.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of stuff that you know, yeah. Yep. Who knows? I've always been that in between.
I still can't wake up in the morning without saying, good morning, Captain.
Oh, my God. Send your pictures to Zero Captain Noah. Send today. Or are we talking Captain Kangaroo?
Oh,
yeah, yes. Definitely. Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans and Mr. Moon. And we're not even going to get into Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, that odd menage a trois van.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. And don't forget, and then don't forget, we had Gene, come on, help me out.
Gene, the dancing machine?
No, that's way past then. What'd you say, Rex?
I know, that. I said the same thing, that's in the 70s. The Gong Show.
Yeah, that was gonged, all right. No, Gene, what's his name? The cartoons on Saturday. In London. That was him. But that's probably, you know what, he's probably more of a my area kind of thing. So let's just forget about it. I said that. Because you know how different areas have different things. Yeah. Just, yeah. It's okay.
Are you okay?
Never mind.
Spit it out.
I am. Yes, I am. Gene London was based out of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. I think Sally Star was too. Yeah. So I kind of went off there, but it's okay. You are HR stuff and
all this down.
Yeah, you better, because you have to look it up, because then you'll know I'm not crazy. Oh my God. Okay,
no.
Rex, look, this is your Burt Bacharach show. Sorry, we're kind of out here on some kind of, I don't know where we're at, but we're out here. That's for sure. So.
Well, it started with the dinosaur on the age angle and just kind of filtered off on some other wavelength. But that's okay.
Well, you know, I get it. The damn dinosaurs, man. That was causing a record. Yeah. Okay. Well, Rex, where would you like me to begin? At the very top?
Sure. Let's do it.
Okay, well, I'm going to put the first piece up, and this is going to be for you. But first, I have to put in the lead, because I forgot what song I was doing. Oh, my God. Okay, here's the lead-in. It's Arthur's theme. I'm not exactly the best that you can do. What does that mean, Rex? Never mind. I'll listen to this. Here.
Someone who turns your heart around, and next thing you know, you're
Oh, yeah. Forgotten about that song.
Yeah.
That was such a great movie, too. Dudley Moore played a great part in that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I said, yep. Can't tell me you didn't know the words there, Bill Schiller. Just saying. Naomi, I'm sorry to hear you're sick. I hope you feel better soon. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And there's that. Oh, there we go. Hello, Eric Svensson. Nice to see you. So, Ralph, I'm going to have you read the poem that we have to go with that song. And this is called
right.
The Moon in the Sea, An Unrequited Love Affair by Guilty. So here we go, whenever you're ready.
The Moon and the City, An Unrequited Love Affair by Guilty. Bert, old man, you should not have done it. It wasn't your plan, but you sure brought it. You hung the moon and the city, nailed it on a wall, and made it pretty. Some young boy just might believe you, spend his nights thinking it's true. A love affair with a cold lover, bright lights and a glamorous smile. Once hooked, there is no other who'd ever find him worthwhile. Bert, old man, you should not have done it. Write lyrics so smooth and cunning. You hung the moon and the city ever so high and out of reach. Pity, some young boy just might believe you, spend his life drinking himself blue. Another affair after another, while nights are so juvenile. Once hooked, there is no other who'd ever walk the last mile. Commitment, who'd ever believe it? He'd never settle, I don't see it. Always an excuse or a reason, cold feet, pneumonia, or hunting season. The city keeps on beating, moon shines on every evening. Nights grow colder as you get older. Parties move on. You don't belong. This is young man's town. Bert, old man, you have done it. Impressful young romantics have spun it. Through fault of your own, you taught dreamers how to dream. Lovers how to embrace love. Men to love cities that can't love them back, no matter how politely they ask. And boom. Nice. All right, Bill, why don't you kick us off, please?
Yes. I'm reading this. It's beautiful, and it's got a little bit of everything. And I hear tones of loss and appreciation for talent. And one of the things I thought was interesting is this urban-esque sort of quality of it when you get to the reference to the city. So for all the sentimentalism and romance, there's a urban kind of grit to it, that modernity, which is kind of interesting, because I mean, normally this was displayed at the opening of all this conversation when we started going back in time, thinking of things, the more we thought of Bert Backlund. I guess my point is the fact of the modernity of this. And now, I mean, the now of this verse seems interesting when so many of us associate Bert Bacharach with something of the past. But it seems to me this feels more modern than now, if that makes sense.
Yes, I like that. Nicely said. And Gene, how about you?
You know, I like this piece by Guilty, I have to say. And yeah, I agree. He wrote this in a Today's Voice based on the song from yesterday. And I like that. I think that he did a nice job making that happen. And I have to say, there's so many good stanzas leading through the poem. But I have to say, I really like the final stanza. Bert, old man, you've done it. Impressionable young romantics have spun it. Through fault of your own. You taught dreamers how to dream, lovers how to embrace love, men to love cities that can't love them back, no matter how politely they are. I like that. I love how he ended this. I thought it was just a great piece. So well done, Guilty, and thanks for sharing with us. Great addition to the show and the contest.
Nice. Thank you. Both right. There is a bit of modernity in it, but he also brought in Arthur into this, too, the thought of another affair after another, wild nights, oh so juvenile. Once hooked, there is no other. Who'd ever walk that last mile? And then a little bit of humor commitment to it, ever believe it? He'd never settle. I don't see it. Always an excuse or a reason. Cold feet, pneumonia, or hunting season. something a little bit funny there. And that note of how you got the moon in the city, an unrequited love affair. And that second stanza hits on that note itself. A love affair with a cold lover, bright lights and glamorous smile. Once hooked, yeah. There is no other you'd ever find him worthwhile. That note of loving the city life, but it often chews you up too. The city keeps on beating, moon shines on every evening. Nights grow colder as you get older. Parties move on, you don't belong. This is a young man's town. And that's true. You get into big cities like that, then you got to be young to enjoy it because it is a whirlwind, a 24-hour day party, so to speak. And he did finish out nicely with that last stanza. And to love cities, they can't love them back, no matter how politely they ask. There is that note of wanting to still be on that young trawl, so to speak. But, man, you know you've gone past a bit past your prime to keep up with the younger set. So, nicely done, Guilty. Thank you very much.
Amen to that. Okay, Rex, you ready for the next one?
Sure enough.
Okay, this is Trains and Planes. No, Trains and Boats and Planes. Right. Okay, here we go.
That one,
huh? No, I did not know that one. Not at all, which was funny to me. I'm like, I don't even recognize that title. I said, what is this? What is a guy? I told you I was young.
I think that was that was one of those rare songs that he wrote entirely by himself because he usually collaborated with other people.
Right. Well, that would make sense. I looked at that one. I don't know that one. It reminded me of the Disney movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's just by title.
I remember that movie, too. Another funny one.
I know this has nothing to do with that, but you know, it's familiar enough. Listen, we're pretty lucky. We got two SoundClouds to go with the next two poems for that song. So the first one is going to be by Eric Svensson, and it's called Earth, Water, Air, and Fire. So there we go. And let me hit the button for that. Here we go, Eric.
Earth and water, air and fire. Steel wheels spew sparks. Clickety-clack, cut-cut, clickety-clack. Frantic cuts gobble up wild turkey miles. Red bullet train slides upon silvery parallel railway tracks. Twine embraided, will our love ley lines ever meet again? Fortuna winds buckle billow, feather pillow push spinnaker sail, full throttle slip through satin teal waves. Sleek yacht helmsman promises swift landfall, cold clipper winds cut to the chase, ace of base love's ape. Twine embraced, will Poseidon ensure your safe return? Wide wondrous stalk wings scratch through Himalayan snow blizzard, ever onwards to India's warmer breeding grounds. Jetliner slices open pregnant cobalt sky belly. White sutures bulge, strive to repair the wound. Twain emblazed, will love propel Icarus to reach the sun? Standing twin flames, fire twilled, dervish willed, shamanic drums transmuted violent resistance. White nights beyond hooting, shooting scooter stars. Now twain untwilled, will we phoenix rise, comet trail back to southern thorn and briar? End poem.
Wonderful read there, Eric. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. All right, Gene. We're going to start with you.
Oh, my gosh, I'm not on mute. That's amazing. I like this piece. I really did. I like the beginning of it. You know, steel wheels skew sparks. Clickety-clack, cut, click. Clickety-clack. Frantic cuts gobble up for wild turkey miles. You know, it draws you in because you're like, clickety-clack. You know, it catches your ear and it's like, yeah. And I liked it all the way through. Eric's poetry does tend to hold my attention because I have to like kind of think about some of it, so I have to kind of like tune in. But I like each of the stanzas. But this one here, Fortuna winds buckle billow, feather pillow push spinnaker your sail, full throttle slip in brow, slip through satin. Sorry, Eric, my eyeballs are out on their own. Full throttle slip through satin teal waves, sleek yacht helmsman promises swift landfall. Cold clipper winds cut to the chase. Ace of base loves eight. Twain embrace. Will Poseidon ensure your safe return? He's got so much great imagery throughout all the time. And he has always has wonderful references throughout. And I think that he did a wonderful job with this, and I think it reflects nicely on the lead-in song. So well done, Eric, and thanks for sharing with us. Great job.
Nice. Yep. Thank you, Gene. And Bill, mm-hmm. How about you?
Yes, the descriptive resonance in this is really cool, as well as the assonance, and there's a lyrical, like I said, there's a very lyrical feel to it, as the just listening to the words, not rhyming, but just this plays of phrase that have a lyrical tune to them. So that is the first thought that comes to mind. But beyond that, as I look at it and read it, it reminds me of a lot of stuff I seem to be seeing lately, just in terms of structure. And it led me to wonder, as beautiful as all the details are and the visual images that are portrayed, silvery parallel railway tracks, a full throttle through satin waves, swift landfalls. Okay, I guess here's my question, and I'll be interested in what anyone thinks. The question is, in the absence of an emotional response to all this descriptive stuff that's going on, if there's not an emotional response to all that description, an emotional response or some kind of mental rationale that is maybe new or some consequence of significance that follows all that description. So if you don't have that, my question is, does all that just become data? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you might be missing a little bit. There is a note of wonder in this, and I'll get to that. But he hits on that thought of trains and boats and planes, and he runs off that theme right up front with the train, and then into the boats, and then into the plane. But he also hits on a number of other things. Let's see, we've got a frantic cuts gobble up wild turkey miles. There's a sense of abandon there, but also of whiskey, wild turkey being a whiskey. Then you roll into red bullet train slides upon silvery parallel railway tracks. Red bullet hitting on that idea of needing to get up and go, that drink giving you the boost you need for the long ride or for the next morning's wake-up call. And then he finishes out each stanza with a note to what's going on. Twain and braided, will our love ley lines ever meet again? And I like the fact that he went with lay as L-E-I, the note to the Hawaiian lays you get on entering Hawaii. There is a note there of something special, unique in the question itself. And then he runs with the thought with the Fortuna winds, the sleek yacht helmsman, the cold clipper, winds cut to the chase, ace of base, love's ache. And then I thought, again, to finish, Twain embraced, will Poseidon ensure your safe return. So you get this idea of a parting, or at least maybe a trip that they're not both on, or that they come back from, or that one has met one other on. So there's that angle of will there be a return engagement? And I like the thought, he hits on the note in that third one, jetliner slices open pregnant cobalt sky belly. That's a great thought to the plane itself streaking across the sky. And I had me thinking of Jet Airliner by Steve Miller, but also back in the USSR but from the Beatles. Is a note to the travel. And again, he finishes that. Twain and Blaze, will love propel Icarus to reach the sun? Again, that thought, will I reach that height once more? So there is note to the finishing notes in this of love missed, love craved, love wanted again, because he finishes back out. Now twain untwirled, will we phoenix rise? Comet trail back to sudden thorn and briar. So there's hope in that last stanza in the finishing notes. So well done there, Eric. I like it.
Read the board, Rex. Read the board.
Uh-oh.
Eric might be. Uh-oh.
I was on the right track, I think.
all because we have the poet in the room. That's wonderful. So thank you for sharing that, Eric. The last verse of the Newman Revolution, which remains open-ended. I just love it. Does this make sense? Say, Eric, he's just a sneaky writer. He just covers it up and makes you look for it. Always. Always, always, always. All good stuff. Okay. Well, my next audio in response to the same song is by Selena. And this is called Not For You. And let me get the blessing.
Trains and boats and planes are passing by, though to my arms I want you to fly. Another love, she tastes your kiss, she's stealing my dreams of bliss. My tears, they fall for you alone. I am so in love with you, my sweet, I cannot think or sleep or eat. Yes, dreams come true, but not for me. You're only my fantasy, far out of reach, of reach from me. You are from another part of the world, but lie next to me in my dreams so wild. When my desire saw you, it smiled. I'm waiting here to make love to you. I'm longing for you, but she has you. Dream. And boats and planes are passing by. They seem to say, hey, he's not for you. Yet if my lips could cross the sea, I know that you'd fall for me. And you'd be free to come to me. La 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 la.
Great sound there, Selena. Thank you very much for this SoundCloud. It is greatly appreciated. Damn, I wasn't expecting quite that. Bill, why don't we kick off with you? What do you think?
I'm confused. Is that the actual song and Selena was singing it?
No, this is her version.
Oh, she
just
put it on
the music at the background and the thought with it.
Well, it just seems so seamless and perfect. And even the sound of it, even the sound's better than the version earlier with all the feedback resonance, so that you couldn't really hear how David's lyrics, how David did write the lyrics to this song. But and you know what is so amazing about this write from Selena is not only the seamlessness with its matching it with the music, but you know, the actual song is such a dreary, depressing thing. You know, it's because someone's thinks of these modes of transportation that's taking someone away from her, and the pain of that departure and knowing that the singer has to stay isn't able to make that trip and go with that person has to remain behind. The sadness of all that. And it's the same thing that is so sad in what Stelina has written, but she adds to it, and it's not just the sense of departure. It's the sense that that departure is accompanied with this person being in the company of another that is not her, which makes, that's like insult to injury, if you know what I mean. It adds to the pain. So that's an, interestingly, another dimension of pain that Stelina wove into these lyrics, which perfectly match the moodiness and sadness of the actual song, which is kind of incredible to almost clone, sort of a clone in the feel of what's written.
Excellent. Thank you, Bill. And Gene, how about you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm here. See, I'm here. A little late. Better late than never. Fashionably late, my friend. Fashionably late. I thought this was just beautifully performed by Stelina. She has a wonderful voice. And it was hard to distinguish in the very beginning whether she was actually singing the lyrics to the song or if she was singing her own words, because she did it so flawlessly. I thought the emotions were so very well expressed, and a sense of longing and desiring someone that cannot be had was so well stated. It really did. It brought up those emotions that went without saying. And I loved, well, each stanza was really good. But trains and boats and planes are passing by. They seem to say, hey, he's not for you. Yet if my lips could cross the sea, I know that you'd fall for me and you'd be free to come to me. What a way to end it. On a hopeful, like not a hopeful note, but on a, I'm not exactly sure how I want to say that. It was kind of like, try it, you'll like it, you know, and then you'd be free to come to me. And I think that it was just really well done. Stelina, another excellent audio and a wonderful write. So thank you so much for sharing with us, as always.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Yeah. Bill, you got this right with this. This does walk in the same note and flavor of the original. And you're right, it doesn't so much hit on the departing angle of it. Now he's already over there with the other woman. This is almost an extra added piece to that whole sense of longing that she's imparting in this piece itself. There's that almost a missing piece, and it fits so damn well with the song that it could very well have been part of it back in the day. So, well done, Stelina.
Yes, it was. Okay. Let me get the next piece up and ready. And this one is called Long Ago. And
I dream, and not the things I see. learned to face the truth and let the truth out, babe. Maybe I get to find myself before I'm lost in space. And maybe your love will always be just as faithful as it seems. Long ago tomorrow, long ago tomorrow, long ago tomorrow, in my dreams.
Nice. I think that was DJ Thomas back in the day.
Yeah. Yes, it was. I didn't recognize that one either, so don't everybody feel be surprised.
Hey, I had a hell of a time digging up through the myriad of stuff here. It's Sheryl Crow, Elvis Costello, Luther Vandross, you name it. There was tons of stuff. Oh, my God.
Right.
So I picked up the ones I did know, like What's Up Pussycat and Alfie and After the Fox was in there. That was fun. Plus,
that B.J. Thomas song, I'm pretty sure I heard that in an elevator at the Sears some years ago.
Is he talking about elevators at the Sears now? Who's dating who here? Absolutely. Oh, my God. That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. Okay, guys. Right. Hey, Bill, can I get you to read the next one for us?
I just know it was an elevator. I might forget where it was at exactly, but I'm sure I was on an elevator.
There you go. Funny, though.
And it was going down, and the elevator was going down. I know that.
Well, that's something. Now, Bill, can I get you to read this next piece by the Basish Verma?
A Journey?
India? Yes, if you would not mind.
Yeah, let me just pull that up.
Okey-doke.
Okay, this is A Journey by the Basish Verma. As the night was advancing, as the darkness was sneaking through the window, as the dust was settling down below, as the harsh, discordant mixture of sounds was dissolving into the ocean of silence, I could hear the words of wisdom loaded with the sense of minimalism I had never heard before. Somebody must have whispered through my pillow. Even though the innumerable scratches on my glasses made by the lines of pathos, etched by the midst of pain and sorrow, I could see the dots of light embedded in the far-off Milky Way. I was enjoying the breeze flowing through the leaves of the big palm tree, played long ago on the portico that carried the scent of flowers from the garden of memories. The bloom after the sun leaves the mackerel sky for a doze. I've made a written record keeping track of all the evens and odds, all my joys and tragedies in one envelope, quite shabby now. And now I am summing up my journey after traversing a lengthy path, depleting my vital energy. Today I arrived at the shore of the ocean of commonality. The ripples were dancing my feet, cleaning off my leftover vanity. And
great read there, Bill. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what do you think?
I think it's a good poem. I think it's a good poem, and I just listened to the song, and because the song was bouncing in and out, I wasn't really tuned into it. But I think the poem itself is really well done. I think that there's a lot of as the night and as the darkness and as the dust, but I think that it was just building up on the imagery as in the thoughts, you know, trying to make a point there before he actually went into the rest of the poem. I think that he did something nice here. I could hear the words of wisdom loaded with the sense of minimalism I'd never heard before. Somebody must have whispered through my pillow, even through the innumerable scratches on my glasses, made by the lines of pathos, etched by the mist of pain and sorrow. I could see the dots of light embedded in the far-off Milky Way. It was wonderfully, wonderfully worded. I mean, he's got something as real, you know, and understandable as, you know, innumerable scratches on my glasses. And then he's talking about something being embedded in the far-off Milky Way. And he's got those within, what, two lines of each other? And I think that it's a balance. It's a balance. He's got it right here, and he's got it, you know, all the way out there in the other realm, you know, basically, you know. And I like how he did that. And I thought that was really a nice touch to the piece. Intriguing, very intriguing and nicely done. So, Debashis, thank you so much for sharing. You know, nice work, and thanks very much for sharing it with us tonight. Great job.
Well, it's that well with you. Nice, Gene, thank you. And Bill, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I was thinking it was rather interesting how, I mean, you do have that sense of travel and journey, all that through here. From the beginning, you can tell there's this sense of traveling, a journey as the night was advancing. And all this action, and you can tell it's happening at night. It talks about the sun fading and that... as this person is taking in all this beauty, and it's after, you know, from the first stanza, which is talking about night, and this person is seeing the darkness as the night advanced, And then by the second stanza, he hears a whisper in his ear, and he starts looking at the stars as if going from all that darkness into a sleep, but waking to notice all of the stars and these little pinpoints of light coming through the sky. And so even from right from the start, there's been this sense of a journey in, which is, if you think about the best stories, the main character always goes through some transition and is changed by the events that happen in the story. The character starts off one way but transitions into something very different. And DeBasius has already done that in these first two stanzas by having someone advance from a pending darkness into a state of awakeness, noticing stars. And then that goes on to the leaves that are falling from this palm tree. And the sight of that or the feel of that makes this person go back in time, recalling a memory of flowers from a garden, which, I think is a kind of interesting thing, because as much as the beginning is about advancing, the person takes a moment from that advancing to stop and go back in time and remember something as simple yet eloquent as having recall of the smell of flowers coming from a familiar garden. And there's a relatability to that that I think would resonate with a lot of people at other times in our life when maybe we had time to actually think about smelling a flower, or just these days taking time to remember the smell of that. There's something so soothing in those kind of recalls. Even today I can remember this honeysuckle that grew behind the home I grew up in, and it was always a neat thing to go to the honeysuckle bush, pull the little stem out, and you'd have this little sweet taste of nectar. It was like a little bit of hint of candy that you got from a honeysuckle flower. So I guess beyond, just forget all that, what I'm really trying to say is there's a sentimental sweetness to what DeBasius has wrote here, and that's what came to mind as I was reading about this person's recall of the flowers from the Garden of Memories. And then he gets into this beautiful description again from the garden. He talks about the bloom sky, which happens when the sun leaves the mackerel sky, that pink sky that happens before the sun goes to sleep. And this finally ends, I think, with that transition I was referring to, because when the character at the end of this journey, who is almost out of energy, he arrives to the shore of the ocean of commonality. What an interesting philosophical point he's just made. Here we go traveling in our lives, and we think our problems, other things we observe, feel, are so singular. We're so unique, you know, compared with other people and what they have to do. And he's saying that after all this journey, he arrives at a shore which is at the ocean of commonality. You know, for all of our differences, we have all this stuff in common. And the ripples were dancing my feet just like they would anybody else. Anybody else would have those ripples when their feet were drenched. And I think the realization of this commonality
and those ripples forces this person to escape from their sense of vanity, which I think happens the more we see the world and meet people from around the world. So good job, DeBashes. Beautiful writing.
You're absolutely right. And you hit on that note of transition there, Bill. I got the same thing, but I saw it slightly differently because he opens up with, as the night was advancing, as the darkness was sneaking through the window, as the dust was settling down below, as the harsh, discordant mixture of sound was dissolving into the ocean of silence, I could hear the words of wisdom loaded with a sense of minimalism I had never heard before. To me, this the transition and the journey is he's come to a place at the end of his life where he now understands that the flowers, the garden memories that bloom after the sun leaves the mackerel sky for a doze was a nice touch because he hits on that next line. I had made a written record, keeping track of all the evens and odds, all my joys and tragedies in one envelope, quite shabby now. And now I'm summing up my journey. He's drawing all these accounts to close. And that today I arrived at the shore of the ocean of commonality. That commonality is death. And the ripples were drenching over my feet, cleaning off my leftover vanity in order to move and transition into the next phase of where you're going. He needs to leave that vanity behind. And what better way than to have a second baptismal in that moment to wash off that excess vanity so you can make that final transition. You write this great philosophical piece. Well done, Debasish. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. The next piece I'm going to put up is called My Wildest Dreams by Betty Page. And this is for the with that last song as well. So I'm going to give it a whirl. Oh, Betty, don't mess with me. Mess me up tonight now. He's so funny. Okay, My Wildest Dream, excuse me, by Betty Page. I know I'll be the things I dream, riding along on rainbows and moonbeams. I'll live all alone in my own little world, caramel-coated vanilla swirled. Maybe I'll be his wife. Oh, I dream it to be. We could live so happily, far away to Mars, far away to Mars, far away to Mars. My wildest dream, maybe one day we can fully embrace, just him and me face to face. Look to the skies and see I'll be brightest star in his universe. My wildest dream, be his one true love. Faithful as I'll always be, mending love as it seems, far away tomorrows, far away tomorrows, far away tomorrows. My wildest dreams, be his one true love. Faithful I'll always be, mending love as it seems, far away tomorrows, far away tomorrows. My wildest dreams. And home.
Ah, great read, Gene. Thank you very much. Something a little different from Betty.
Yes.
And it bites at hope and promise. All right,
yes.
Bill, what do you think?
Yes. The immediate thing that jumped out for me was the almost childish nuance of this and its mindset, as if the idea that all of my dreams will be fulfilled when in this relationship to be someone's true love, like if that person will just love me enough, I will always be this, I will always be that, it will always be true, we will forever be happy. I mean, there's a kind of childish innocence and sweetness, but naivete that comes across for me, which is kind of adds to the sweet sappiness of this romantic thing. But it just has I've read some of Betty Page's work, and it's typically very mature, and I find it very interesting that this whole other side, which is so sweetly sentimental, romantic, not overly, there's no high language, you know, it's all very simple, easy to follow, and like I said, it has a kind of an innocent vibe to it, but, you know, it's still speaking to love and romance for me in the way that a young person would who is, you know, in the grip of infatuation more so than a forever love. I'm being the old guy that I am, dinosaur, I'm just old enough and been around enough to know, you know, all loving relations are not always loving. And it's not like you spend the days mending the blanket of love at all the seams. You know, some days you just want to wrap up in that blanket and die or scream. Scream so loud that not everyone can hear you, like the neighbors. But I think you get bored. That it's only young people who haven't gone through the experience of years and years in a committed relationship, they wouldn't know all the kind of crazy things that go down in a long-time relationship. It's not always peaches and cream, I guess.
Absolutely. Well said, Bill. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I like this piece by Betty. I thought it was nicely penned and a sweet romance piece. It's not something we see from her often, but we can all hope and dream for a beautiful commitment. And, you know, committing to someone means you'll work through all those hard times. And I think that sometimes, even if we word it one way, you know, the underlying thoughts are different. You know, I kind of like, I know I'll be the things I dream, riding along on rainbows and moonbeams. I'll live all alone in my own little world, caramel-coated vanilla swirled. Maybe I'll be his wife. Oh, I dream it to be. We could live so happily, far away tomorrows, far away tomorrows, far away tomorrows. I can dream about all these things, but none of that's going to happen anytime soon. You know, and I kind of like the way she worded it, because there was a... I don't know. You know, it was like a little dream shape she had going on, and I liked it. I thought it was a wonderful write by Betty, and I much enjoyed the innocence of it, for real, because, you know, sometimes we all need a little bit of that in our life. You know, that's the way I feel about that.
Yep.
From what I know about Betty, she is not naive as to the reality of the real world. I think that this is just like we all want that happiness somewhere. You know, if we have to write about it and kind of ride that boat for a little while, why not? Good job, Bet. Thank you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's got that endearing quality to it, that where you can wash away the angle of life and dip into the fantasy of what might be a nice thing to be able to indulge in rather than what is, so to speak. So it does have that nice, sweet nature to it. Nicely done, Betty. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to play is I'll Never Fall in Love Again. So this is the music that inspired the next piece.
Treated me sort of wrong. I can't take anymore, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again. Oh,
I thought they were only lies. But when I caught you in his arms, I just broke down and cried. And it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again. Fall in love. No, I'm never gonna fall in love. I mean it. For someone else, baby, I broke up all inside, and it looks like I'm never gonna fall in love again.
I just say, I've never heard that song. I have just never heard it. What I thought of and thought I was going to hear was the version that Dionne Warwick had sung. But apparently...
Well, I had to take out a few different friends to join us.
What do you mean, Rex?
Well,
I'm sorry.
I had to pick out the difference. I didn't want to do it all at one person. Then it would kind of feel a little blasé. So I went through and picked up whoever I found. All right, this one works. And this one.
Great. Completely different song, though, from what I recall. So I'm like, okay. You know, good old Tom Jones. Just sings his way. So good. So good. Okay, let me move that one down. And Rex, I'm going to come to you for the next. Now we got Frank in the room, two-stepping. Naomi, you just sit down. He doesn't need COVID. Frank, calm down. No two-stepping in the room. Okay, here we go. This is called Again After the Again by After the Fire. So whenever you're ready, Rex.
Again. By After the Fire. I doubt that I will fall in love again before I die. I've seen the consequences, and I know that it's a lie. The momentary highs I felt could never tame the blues. The dynamite of passion rarely has a trusty fuse. Some people throw the word around, not knowing what it means. They falsely build up hopes, and then they cruelly crush your dreams. I find love's for the foolish and uneducated young, for folks who mess with bees until they're finally stung. Some poets say that love's a bird and it will set you free. Well, I can't argue with them as the bird has crapped on me. So if I ever love again and fall from logic's grace, I beg that you will set me straight and slap me in the face. End poem. All right, Gene, you get first look. my God.
Oh, my God. you know, Dave is too much. He's really too much. He is. That was a great little poem. And I know how he is, and it's so him. You know, I get he always says, yeah, I don't fall in love. You know, he's the bah humbug of stupidism. You know what I mean? He just is. And I respect that. You know, not everybody is into the joys of love, you know. But he just says things, oh, my God, in such a way. I was looking away, and then you said, I heard you read, some poets say that love's a bird and it will set you free. Well, I can't argue with them as the bird has crapped on me. Like, really? Oh, my God. It just made me laugh. And it does go really well with the I'll never fall in love again kind of thought to that. It just, yeah. Dave, you're too much, man. You do crack me up, I got to say. Well done. Well rhymed as always. It just cracks me up. It really does crack me up. I mean, he just really gets it. Do if I ever love again in full from logic's grace, I beg that you will set me straight and slap me in the face. I don't know, man. Good job, Dave. Really well done, and a great chair for tonight. Oh, Lord have mercy on us all.
Truth popping would be the note of age. Yeah, I ain't going through that crap no more. You need me. I've had enough. It's already crapped on me one too many times, so let it go. Bill, how about you?
I think this writer and I know some of the same women. I don't know if he hangs out in Florida too often or what, but he'd be right at home here. And I want to tell him, welcome to my world, buddy.
I think he's in Texas. That's not too far away.
Well,
I think.
Texas
not positive.
Is the Florida of the West.
There you go.
Texas is the Florida of the West. I guess that explains it.
There you
because,
go.
Because, you know, the crazy ones always gravitate to the water and then they stop. So if you live around the water, you're going to find them. That's true of any coast.
Oh,
all right.
My God, yeah.
So, the interesting, you know, the actual song that this is based on, that song is, to me, it always feels more like self-pity, but this writing feels more like cynicism versus self-pity. And, yeah, I get it, man. You've been bucked off the horse a couple times. Sometimes it's not easy to just get a rope tied around them and put a bit in their mouth and right off into the sunset. I get it, man. I don't think this is someone who's really considering the potential of falling in love again or the joy that anyone might misguidedly presume would follow from that. I don't think this isn't coming from someone wanting to experience it again. It sounds more like someone, if I go down that road, slap me in the face before I make that mistake. It's like friends don't let friends drive drunk. Really good friends don't let other friends fall in love.
Oh,
absolutely.
Kind of along those lines.
Yeah, that was a humorous piece. Definitely writ with some very dry wit. So
yeah.
Enough to make you smile at the notation. Yeah. Yeah, that's babe. Go.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Funny. All right, back to you, Gene. Ha-ha.
I haven't heard. I haven't seen him all night. Silly bird. He's always out running around.
I'm a sneaky bugger.
Yeah, see? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's funny. I don't do. He always gets me laughing. Okay. Here we go. The next piece I'm going to play is called I Say a Little Prayer for You by Dion Warwick.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. Walk on in my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you stay in my heart. I say a little prayer for you. At work I just take time, and all through my coffee break time, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part. Of how I'll love you together, together. That's how it must be to live without you. Would only mean heartbreak for me.
And it was the theme song for Valley of the Dolls, wasn't it?
I don't know. I was 5 in 1967.
So you say.
5. So as old as I feel sometimes, I can say I was 5 then. Can I tell you? But I remember the song well. Go figure. Oh, my God. So anyway, yeah, 67, wow. I would have guessed later than that. I don't know why. Probably because I do remember it so well. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me. I had to do it. It's not the company, it's the hour. Okay, and I have a poem that goes against this one. I think you're fibbing, Frank. Anyway, I'm gonna read the next one. And this is called Answer My Prayer. Answer My Prayer, I Once Prayed for You, called by Jenny Hunt, 2017. And make this bigger so I can read it. Now that I said a prayer for you, will you love me forever like I love you? Will you break my heart into two? Please promise me that I can promise you what I can promise you. Whenever I wake up and I don't see your wondrous face, I get a little dismayed. Do I keep praying for you? Do you ever pray for me? Tears ruining my makeup, staining my cheeks. Do you ever notice what I do for you? Do you even care about what I go through? I keep praying for you. Do I need to stop and move on? Will my love be recuperated? Tired of all the broken hearts, tired of all these tears. This is my final prayer. Forever, please love me or let me move on. I can't keep praying and singing this song. Please hold me in your arms. Let me know that you're there. Please answer my prayer. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And Bill, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, I'm led off of that. When I was going through this line by line, I was thinking about how when I see something I really enjoy, I'm able to point to the parts of a verse and say, it was this, it was that. And as much as I can do that with things I really love, when there's something I have a reaction towards that's less than positive, I can normally go right and point to the thing that bothered me. And just to start off with something good, I have to say there is a sincerity that comes off in this, which makes it feel authentic. And that's something I can appreciate, because I'll be the first one to encourage someone to have the courage to express their authentic truth, whether it's something they think or they feel. So what Jenny has written here does have that sense of sincerity that gives it the ring of truth and authenticity, which is something I like. But what bothers me is almost like the sense of victimization that comes out. Do you do for me as I do for you? And this is one of those times where it has nothing to do with the artistry or finesse of what the person has written. It's just that you never know what your reader is dealing with when they come across stuff. And sometimes there are things that just push a button. And for me, I'm one of those people who has a button that can get pushed. When someone wants to remind him of all the good things he did for you, do you ever do for me what I did for you? You know, I love people and their random acts of kindness. But I've also come to know this. If every time they do something nice for you, they got to remind you of it, it stops being about a kind gesture. It becomes something more like control, lording something over someone. So because that's such a hot-button issue for me, I hear tones of that coming across in this verse, and it ticks me off. It makes me think back to many years, you know, today, I love the idea of someone saying, hey, I'm going to say a prayer for you. Please do. I need all the prayers that I can get. But when I was much younger, I remember a time when someone stuck his head inside my office and said, hey, Bill, I'm just letting you know I'm praying for you. And my first thought is, why in the hell are you praying for me? You better be praying for yourself, asshole. But today, I would say, thank you for that prayer. But by the way, I don't need to be reminded that you're praying for me. You're going to tell me about it. I get it. You say a prayer for me. I get it. I do. But must you remind me about it all the damn time? So this isn't about Jenny's writing, obviously. This is about my hang-ups. I'm sorry, Jenny. What you wrote is fine, but sick people like me might have a different reaction to these things. It's not her fault. It's fine.
Thank you, Bill. And
I guess
Gene, you got to read it.
It's not you. It's me.
I thought this was an interesting take on the prompt. You know, the song was supposed to be more upbeat, more of a positive note. Whereas Jenny here is trying to decide whether to just give up, walk away, cut her losses and go. And, you know, she wants someone to say, no, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. And that's the way her poem struck me. And I found that to be like an interesting take on the prompt because, you know, I listen to it and my head bounces a little bit and I go, oh, yeah, it's a nice show. It's a nice song. And the piece is just not as bubbly. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the piece. It's, you know, that's the whole thing. The inspiration takes you wherever. And I like that. But it was definitely well done and well addressed here. And great work, Jenny. And yeah, I enjoyed it. So,
yep.
Yeah, something to think about.
Yeah, she's torn in this because I think the investment is so heavy. Maybe it's long term, and there might be a thought of something else within. She doesn't hit on everything. Just the, I think the praying thought is, hey, give me a sign one way or the other. Are we it or are we done? So I think the prayer for you is that note, hey, please, where do we go from here? I need some answers.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Where do we go now?
Let me see now. There's a song about that. Where do we go now? Actually, the next
where
piece I have. Yeah, exactly. Okay, the next song I'm going to play is Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. And here we go.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. So I just did me some talking to the sun, and I said I didn't like the way he got things done. Sleeping on the job, those raindrops are falling on my head, they keep falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they send to meet me won't defeat me. It won't be long till happiness steps up. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.
Well, that's going back a few years too, Jim.
Yeah, you got that right. I knew every word.
That's when Butch and Sundance were still alive and young.
There you go. Frank's out there with his umbrella already, you know. He's got to stay dry. Yeah, I remember this song very well. I remember all the ones. I'm sitting here singing. I said, if anybody took me off mute, I would die. you know, that would be very upsetting. But, yeah, it's just, that's been around forever. Forever and ever and ever. Frank wanted to know if that came from a Barbra Streisand movie. I said, I have no idea.
I don't believe so. But it,
yeah.
It
could have been
it has many movies to pick. So what are we doing next?
Anyway, well, this is the lead-in song for Bill Schiller's poem called Please Come Back. So here we go, Bill, so whenever you're ready.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Please Come Back. Though it does have that kind of Abby Bach feel from Schwarzenegger. No, it's Please Come Back. A tender tickle on piano keys. A voice welcome in full breeze in summer. Burt Bacharach, the values and your numbers are too high to count. And forever, 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 I'll say a little prayer of gratitude for you. When I did not know the way to San Jose, you encouraged me to learn. When raindrops fell on my head, Bacharach assured. He said I need not worry nor cry because of life's little storms. During war in Vietnam, as helicopters dropped napalm from above, Bacharach reminded of all the world really needs. Love, sweet love, it's the only thing that's just too little love. For a drunken Arthur, for a lady of Warwick acclaim, you, Burt Bacharach, help both of them to sustain. Even a pussycat enjoyed uprising its fame. Bacharach music remained in memories of mastered composition. Bacharach was to sound what art is to a musician. End.
Great read, Bill. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. I know he's got a lot in here that you kind of concocted.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Well, there's a whole lot of wonderful references in here, all the different songs and, you know, a line here and a line there. And it was, you know, easy. Well, it was easy for me to pick out. And these young whippersnappers might miss it, but I caught them. You know, I mean, as he's reading, I'm going, you know, the way to San Jose. I'm going, yeah, and if that starts playing in my head. Every time he put up a title or a line, I was there, my brain went singing again, I have to say. And, Bill, I think you did a great job with that. I thought it was a nice tip of the hat, you know. Nice little tribute piece for Burt Bacharach. The references were good. It was sound. He added in some, you know, during war in Vietnam, as helicopters dropped napalm from above, Bacharach reminded of all world to really need this love, sweet love. I thought that was great. I thought that was a wonderful little, just a little spot in the poem, you know, that just kind of really stood out and that spoke the truth. It spoke the truth. Not that the rest of it didn't, but that one really kind of lit up for me. So wonderful job. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That was a trip down memory lane for me because I had to think about when I first heard these things. And even when I hear that the song you played before the poem, Raindrops Had Fallen on My Head, I can remember, you know, we'd get the Converse tennis shoes that, you know, you had to tie up to your ankle, and they would be white. But you would never wear them to school white, or you'd get teased. So, you know, me and some friends, we'd go out, and there was this particular gutter puddle where the runoff from rain would collect and go down these water lines and sometimes collect in a little gully. and we would put on our white tennis shoes and jump up and down in the puddle. And we'd be singing, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. So that's what I mean. I'm just, the song takes me back to childhood. And it is a funny way how music, when you hear it today and you remember from the earliest times that you heard it, it's just a flood of memories. So I do have profound respect for Burt Bacharach. Right. And I thank you all for the point.
Oh, and that shows in this, Bill, because you listed so much in your AN, I had to pick one. Then I looked at your words, and I said, oh, this one's easy. Piano Keys, Life's Little Storms, The Helicopter Dropped Napalm. It all walked on that theme of Raindrops on My Head. So I figured that'd be the best way to go, since you dropped in so many key pieces of Burt's music in this. I thought that fit well, and it said a lot. Plus, the idea in this, you did drop so much that it does walk that note of your understanding and your love for the music you produced over all those years.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right, Gene, it's about it to you.
Okay, I have two poems left. Shoot. I cut it a little too close, I think. I'm going to put up the piece by Naomi because she's in the room. And Pam, forgive me, but can we put Pam on Friday?
Yes.
Okay, Pam, we're going to read yours on Friday. We have a sound clip for that, too, so this is better. Okay, so here we go. The next piece is... Oh, no, that's not the one. Which one is for Naomi's song? Oh, it's the same one. Never mind. I'll be quiet now. Okay. I guess I'll read this one. Raindrops in You by Naomi Sarah. Rainy and cloudy days, gray curtains in the background, and you swinging a cherry umbrella. Yeah, I better make this bigger because I wasn't sure whether I was reading that right or not. Rainy and cloudy days, gray curtains in the background, and you swinging a cherry umbrella, facing the storm. Shiny shoes and yellow canary hat, like a character straight out of a Broadway musical. Music springs forward from under your feet as wild roses bloom between cracks in the sidewalk, leaning into your every step. Raindrops falling on my head as you move in silvery ripples. Your bubbly giggles blossoming into wide smiles on faces all around. I watch as you sing and dance, smiling at the clouds. Throwing down my umbrella, I catch the rainbow in one pearly drop on the tip of my tongue. A taste of heaven, a taste of you, and I am free.
Damn, that was different from Naomi, too. The thought in this had me thinking of Singing in the Rain as well. That, remember that movie with Jimmy Cagney?
Yeah.
It had that little flair of running through this. So nicely done, Naomi. I like that. And Bill, what about you?
This is just a precious moment of time that she's outlined. And I don't know, but I'm just stuck on this one idea, I have to confess. In the final stanza, she says, I catch the rainbow in one pearly drop on the tip of my tongue, a taste of heaven, a taste of you, and I am free. I read that and all I can think, I'm sorry to tell you, is I wish I was a drop of rain. And I mean that in the nicest of ways, not to be crass. I just think some raindrops are so freaking lucky they don't even know. They think they're escaping from the clouds only to land on Naomi's tongue. What a way to die, huh?
Poor Naomi. You knew she has COVID. Don't pick on her. Jeez. Pay him no mind, Naomi. Silly boy. Ah! No, it's funny. That is very funny, Bill, actually. I thought it was clever. Clever take.
There's a lot of fun to this writing. You know,
absolutely.
Just dancing around with the red umbrella.
Absolutely.
Blooming roses.
Yes. I thought it was a great piece. I thought there was a lot of great imagery.
It also had that little touch of childlike innocence when you skip the umbrella and you just look up and you open up your tongue like you would in the wintertime for a snowflake. You got that nice little fresh drop of water that's heaven bound. Well, we're at the back end and we're overshot. So,
yes, we are.
Okay. Great show, Gene. Thank you for sitting in with us, Bill, and reading comments. And Naomi, Frank, Jenny for the boards. Y'all welcome all of us. So thank you very much.
Good night.
And thank you.
And Eric.
Yes.
Thank you all for hanging out.
Yes.
Yes. Rex, you did a great job with the show tonight. Great prompts. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to have something a little bit different and a little bit from the, from elsewhere. You know, it's not the same old, same old. Then again, your shows are never same old, same old. There's some other kind of something going on, you know, which is great. That's what it's all about. But I thought this was a neat opportunity to hit on something just a little different. Yes. So wasn't too bad. We have one karaoke out of everything. And, I look forward to that on Friday. Because I listened to that song and I went, what is this? Okay. So it'll be a good
that
one.
Song is, it's The Hollies and Peter Sellers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, The Hollies are doing the singing and Peter Sellers doing the talking in it.